Welcome to the Chase Merrill Podcast. I am your host, Chase Merrill, and we are all about helping people get freed up from what's holding them back so they can build up who they were made to be. On today's episode of the podcast, I have my friend Andy Irwin with me. Without Andy, you wouldn't be hearing this or watching this right now. He's been a huge part of my life over the last few months and has been the behind-the-scenes guy helping me make this podcast happen in reality. Andy's story and what God has been doing in his life is incredible. Who he is as a husband, as a father, as a friend, and so much more has impacted me and I know will impact you today as you hear a part of his journey. If you want to help us continue to make an impact with this podcast week in and week out, consider joining our new Patreon community. For as little as a cup of coffee a month, you can be a part of helping us get the message and mission of the podcast out to more people more effectively. This is a way that we can come together as a community and you'll get access to behind the scenes stuff, additional resources and content, and so much more for just as little as $5 a month. You can head over to chasemerrill.com and click Patreon to jump in and get started. Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Frontline Coffee Co. Delicious, bold, and expertly roasted small batch coffee for the everyday American. Frontline is not just about coffee. They're about supporting responders on the front lines, courageously caring for the rest of us. With every Frontline purchase, a percentage goes to supporting the brave men and women who are doing just that. Head over to frontlinecoffeeco.com and use promo code FREEDUP. That's FREEDUP, all one word, FREEDUP, to get 15% off your purchase. Now let's jump into today's conversation. Well, here we go. I got an incredible man, bearded, strong, hilarious. My friend Andy Irwin today on the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, man.
All right. Thank you, Chase.
It's so cool having you here. There's a story and a journey over the last few months that, you know, people that have been a part of listening to the podcast or watching, you know, they don't know all of that's gone into it. And so as we have this conversation today, right out of the gate, want people to get to have a snapshot of why you're here on the show today and who you are. But will you do just a snapshot moment? People don't know you.
Yeah.
Who are you? I guess I always feel like that's the hardest question ever. Like, how do you do that? But just
who are you
for the people that are like, they don't know Andy Irwin sitting here with me today. Like, who are you? And like, where are you at in the world right now? Just so people can get kind of a snapshot.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been going here at Living Water Lacey for the last year and a half with my family, Sarah, my wife, and then my two kids, Jeremiah and Aubrey. Aubrey's 13, Jeremiah's 10. So we're definitely in like the teen yeah. years. So yeah, being parents is definitely at that challenging stage for sure. Involvement with church and stuff is I was over at Living Water Ole for quite a while.
Yeah.
Living Water itself has been a huge.
Yeah.
Part of both Sarah and I's lives, all the pastors and mentors and stuff through there. And, but yeah, so about a year and a half ago, we just, you know, after the whole COVID problem of everyone staying home, it was just a really cool chance to come try out this location. And, man, it was definitely one of the best decisions we've ever made. And so, but yeah, we're here and, I mean, making friends and we're loving it for sure.
Yeah. It's awesome having your family, your whole family, like to be a part of the church. And there's already several different spaces that, you know, the four of you have impacted being here in the months that you've been here. Part of why you're here today is even though we haven't known each other on a, like on a deep level for a long time, is when I stepped into this space to launch a podcast, there, I mean, so many like insecurities and fears and all these things, right, that were up in my grill all the time. But just was attempting to step over or overcome those. Did episode one with my brother, Landon. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, he's a video guy, so he kind of helped put some of that stuff together with me. But after that, I quickly realized when he went back, you know, to Southern California where he lives, like, all right, like I am up, what's up, up a creek without a paddle. Like I'm, this is going to be, and I knew, you know, I wanted to get my buddy Josh on and he was episode three. I think Holly was two. And then, yeah, that was still production wise, Holly's episode. I mean, it was brutal, just from all that. So third episode, Josh is in fact, he's in the room with us. He's in the studio today. I think it's
don't
ironic.
Don't look at him.
Don't mention his name. Joshua M. Jones.
Yeah.
In case you want to find him somewhere on the social webs of the world. Anyway, he reached out and was like, man, we should see if Andy wants to just come be here, you know, cause you're a video dude.
Yeah.
You, from an editor, creator, all of that space. And so, and you've had experience with podcasts specifically.
Yeah.
You know, you were a part of starting one as as not just editing it, but like doing it.
Well, yeah.
Tell me about that just for a second.
Yeah. The Buddies Never Die podcast was my friend Daniel and my friend Austin from over in Idaho. But it was just a way for us to record ourselves hanging out because we just, you know, didn't get to be in a physical space together. But it quickly turned into a really great little like 40, 50 minute episodes of silly stuff.
Yeah.
And man, we did a couple years, I think, of it before life kind of got a little bit too busy, but I cut my teeth on that, you know, three mics, you know,
right.
Zoom cameras, and like what do you even do with that after it's all done? And so I've learned to absolutely love it. So
yeah, so having when Josh made that comment about reaching out to you just from that experience, you know, like to be in the room while we recorded, there was nothing in that except for just to be a part of it, give us consultation. And then it ended up that day we quickly had to have several technical issues that you just jumped in and we actually helped us live cut while we were doing it. And then, you know, you reached out to me after, and this is part again why you're here today, one of the reasons, but you basically just were like, man, I really believe in this, and I believe in what you're doing, and I believe in the message of what you're communicating, and I want to help. Like, I want to help support it. And for me, in that was a pretty pivotal moment for me, that episode 2, 3, you know, 4, first month of like, am I actually going to do this? Is it actually possible to sustain an episode a week? Did I jump into something that, you know, and again, for me, deeper than just the podcast in and of itself, it was the beginning of me coming to terms with a repeating pattern in my life for years, which is fast and fiery starts pretty quick, you know, slow, quick pittering out, you know, the flame, you know. I'm a great starter, not a great finisher when it comes to dreams and ideas and projects. And I began to have that like, God, is this going to be another one of those things? And I didn't want it to be. So I was like frustrated in myself, wishing almost like I didn't even start it, thinking about the reality of the scope of what it was going to take to produce and all of this. And right in that window of that 3-4 episode, you came in, you were like, I want to help. And so Chase, whatever that could look like, from helping edit, you know, the episodes and cutting them up for you. And so you could, you know, I'd love to be in, and man, I can't understate the timing of that, but then also the impact that it gave me, not just the practical, yes, absolutely, the time and energy and skill set to help put together, you know, because up to this point, we're doing episode 17 right now, you have helped edit and helped me piece all these things together since episode 3. Since that Josh episode, from there till now, you've been a part of that, from the ones in person to Zoom every week. And that practically has been an insane help. But it was bigger than that to me. It was the belief. It was I had somebody I didn't know really well yet. Guys, I had like my mom and my dad and my grandma believing in me, right?
Right.
My brother. Yeah, absolutely. But I didn't have somebody like I hadn't had a lot of relational depth with yet. Go like, I believe in you and I believe in this. There's something about it that I was like, okay, well, if somebody that doesn't know me very well or has a ton of connection to me, believes in this, like, right, like the way he's communicating and then wants to help, like, I think we could keep going. I know we wouldn't be to episode 17 if it wasn't for how you stepped in.
Yeah.
I told Holly the other day, I said, like, I wouldn't have been able to sustain this. And so, so that's part of why I went on the bigger picture of like why I wanted to have you on, was because you've been a part of this from the behind the scenes that people wouldn't know, but it's been more than just behind the scenes support. It's been like, I got you and I believe in you in a way that's made a massive impact in this last 3 months for me. So,
jeez, thank you.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to tell you thank you. That's part of why you're here. And then we've had a pretty cool 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Together, right? Is it would today be the start of 8 or 9?
Yeah, okay. Today's the start of 8 for me, for sure.
So for the people listening or watching, right, we've talked about, in fact, Josh and I had a conversation when he was on episode 3 about the gym and working out.
Yeah.
Somehow that's been changing our lives and our friendship and all that. Well, around the time you started helping with the podcast, and, you know, again, have been different phases, have connected with a lot of different people relationally around Living Water and in this area, but decided to jump in with us and start coming to the gym at 5:15, 5:30.
It's supposed to be 5, but
Monday through Friday. And let's start where the story is at now, and then we'll kind of go back for a second. But like, you have come with us for 7 weeks in a row, Monday through Friday, for the last 7 weeks without missing a day.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, there's so much to that, but like, I don't know. I've never done it. I've never committed to that level. I, especially from like cold turkey kind of restarting in the physical space.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This
is... there's always something in there that you like have to bail on. Can you just give, let's just talk about that for a second, right? Yeah. Cause like, I mean, how many people are in that space where they're like, they've worked out before. I mean, you've been a part of different gyms and exercise space before,
right?
But in the recent, you know, recent maybe months or years in that space, you haven't been as consistent or whatever.
Yeah.
So how many people have been there, done something, but like where I'm at now is not where I would want to be or where I've been, but like, how do I get back into that space? And like, what was it for you that was like, all right, like I'm actually going to do it? Cause you've been invited before to that kind of world, yeah, even recent.
Lots of invites, lots of notes.
So what was like the, like, all right, okay, now I'm going to jump in. Like, well, tell us a little bit about the journey of that.
Oh man. Well, first of all, when Josh talked about how early it was, when I wake up at that time,
yeah,
I can't function. Like I can barely make it like 10 feet before I'm like, where am I? Like
right.
Pushing the life alert. It's all right. It's all right. You're fine. But so like knowing to like make it there to be with you guys at 5 or 5:10 or whatever, I knew I'd have to get up at like 4:20.
Yep.
4:30 just to exist with my eyes open for that long before.
Totally.
Because I really shouldn't be driving, shouldn't be doing anything. I can't figure it out. I can't. I've had a lot of friends over the years invite me to early morning stuff, and it's an easy no every time.
you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
It's like,
and
nah.
So, I don't know. I think this time being invited, I was looking and kind of watching your guys's, Instagrams and you guys seem to be having a lot of fun in that, how early everything was. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll go check it out with the guys. And so
wait, you're saying the Instagram stories that I would periodically do had some impact on like your, like,
yeah, oh, yeah, I'd say, okay, that, okay. I'd give you that.
Just in case people are listening that are like, your Instagram stories suck and it's pointless, and yeah. I just want to make sure. Okay, so, sorry, keep going.
And your guys is for the first day, Monday, was like a, hey, come check it out. It's just sauna.
Right.
8:30 a.m. Okay, I can do 8:30. Right.
Sauna Mondays are 8:30.
Alive
starts.
And well, yeah. And so I think probably the introduction to just the hangout time and stuff like that, I mean, as foreign as the gym is to me, because I've done a lot of like at home programs or,
sure,
you know, come to this guy's garage and do CrossFit and stuff like that. But, never committed to something for a long period of time just because of, you know, if it's too early or it's too hard. Unfortunately, that stuff, I just, you know, I give up on it.
Yeah.
I would say that this time around, the early morning is worth it because it's all of us doing it together.
Yeah.
And so showing up groggy eyed, like getting on the bikes or getting on the treadmill and like warming up and doing the weights and stuff like that, quickly became something I realized, like, oh, this is why people do it this early.
Sure.
Kicks off the day,
yeah,
for sure. But man, the time with you guys has been, like, within a few days, I was like, that's what I wake up wanting to go be a part of.
Yeah.
And so it really did help the like social part of it.
Yeah.
Really did help bypass any of the like dread the night before.
Yeah.
Knowing like I should probably go to bed at 5 just so that I can get, yeah, 5 p.m. just so that I can get enough sleep.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It quickly became something that I'm committed to. And then knowing myself, if I start to give myself any little like, I don't know, today seems like a good day to miss.
Yeah.
That's a quick slope for me. Yeah. I'll like, that'll take me almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think part of me sticking to it every day is just like, I'm used to it. Yep. I'm in the pocket. Like, don't get out of the pocket. Yeah. That's so fun.
And I think so. I mean, there's a lot of people that's the reality of like a quick and fast slope out of that healthy rhythm and habit and discipline. But I want to talk for a second just about that community piece, or like the social and relational piece, because I mean, you really add to our group of guys that are going, like when you haven't not been there yet. So I don't know what it's like without you since you started coming. But when I think about the dynamic of what you bring into that space, the who you are factor, you really add to the life, you know, and we really, I think what we've become, even that group of guys that goes, is within the gym community and culture itself, which has got its own ecosystem, you know, is like they've become more and more like, I don't want to say attracted, but drawn to like the life that's coming out of this group of guys. And you've been a massive, you know, part of that. But I just think that's something that a lot of people don't have. And people that even have like more discipline or consistency in their life don't have what you're describing, that pieces that got you more excited to wake up in the morning to go. And I don't want to miss that, because I think part of what I'm seeing in your life in this season, as God is doing so much deep transformative work in so many spheres, is that there's something about that community side that's paralleled and helping that process. Yes. Yeah. That again, God could do it in whatever way he wants to, but it seems as if part of what God's been doing in you has been multiplied, or you know, doubled, if you will, maybe just addition, multiplied with, because the community that you've immersed yourself in with some of these guys. And here'd be the question, I think, for the guy that might be sitting out there, or the gal that's in a similar place as you were 8 weeks ago. That's like, I just feel like, what an impossible task it would be for me to wake up. First of all, let's just talk about the gym, right? Going to the gym. I haven't been in that zone in a while. Maybe it feels uncomfortable. I won't know what I'm doing. And there's that. And then there's the whole waking up early. And then there's the whole, how you're going to actually keep doing that day after day. Right now, you're here now. And on 7 weeks of 5 days in a row, experiencing the benefits of it. And it's maybe easier now than it was to go.
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage that person that's like, I just feel like it's impossible for me to get to something like that, whether it's the gym or any kind of place where there's something that's challenging, sharpening something in everybody or in them daily. How would you encourage that person?
The biggest startup was the consistent invite from you guys, especially from Joshua M. Jones.
Yeah.
But Josh he's always been an inviter. Like, you know, come be a part, come check it out. And he's experienced over the last several years lots of no's and lots of, here's my 100 list reason. I'll pick from the list. For me, this time around, it was definitely a say yes to the next request. Like, if someone's inviting you, go for it.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to answer the commitment part, because I don't usually do anything I don't really want to do.
Yeah.
There's just normal life responsibilities that you just do it.
Right.
I don't think about it, but any extracurricular stuff that requires stuff from me that's a real important yes. Yeah. And so I think I was just at a spot in life where I was thinking about and being open and willing to whoever, like whatever the next invite is.
Yeah.
They're saying it's important. They're saying they want me to be a part. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to give, I think in my head I said, I'm going to give this 2 months.
Yeah. Which you're right there.
I can't wait for it to be over, guys. I'm out. Can't wait to prove myself at 2 months and get, no. But like, I think definitely my personality type is like, I just want everything to be chill all the time.
Yeah.
What's the like most casual thing we can be doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just something I look for all the time. Sure. So I had to give myself, you're going to do this for 2 months. And like that'll lead into other stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Other conversations, but learning the power of like telling myself you're going to go do this. I don't know. I don't normally lean into that kind of stuff. I just kind of react to whatever's around me. Either that's a yes or a no. So.
Yeah. So that's a perfect segue into like this last season of your life. And, you know, let me open with just saying, man, the way that you have allowed me in, and then others, you know, kind of in some of this community and even our church community, sharing just some of the journey of where God's been, how he's been working in your life over this last season. It just has been really courageous, because I just feel like there's such a resistance that most people feel around any kind of like, hey, like here's a weaker place that I'm walking through, or something that may appear as if I'm not as strong or successful as I want everybody to think that I am, that most people just do everything they can to preserve that. And I've just so appreciated and respected the heck out of your like your lifetime ability to go, man, I am not all perfect on the outside here, and I'm actually okay to let that be known, because I'm walking through it with the Lord. I just think that so many opportunities are missed because people don't let people in the right and healthy way while they're in it. They do it on the other side and they go, oh yeah, man, like last year, you know, I went through this and that's great. But there's something about the humility and the discernment of lifetime vulnerability. And I feel like you just have done that really well. So in that vein, like maybe give us a snapshot of just this last season.
Sure.
And, you know, for people that don't know part of your journey and story, because I think a lot of people would resonate with where you've been, where you are. What has that been like? What's the Lord been doing in you over this last season?
Yeah, I would say it's the last 2 years has been a very significant window up until this very day we're talking about this. I think coming out of like when they started like saying, all right, COVID's kind of relaxed and people are free to go do whatever. I'd gotten pretty used to church online and like just kind of hanging out at home for Sundays, even though I really did miss the in-person, the worship. You know, there's nothing like live worship. It's just a part of my life that I've really liked. But Sarah and I had no idea how much we were going to need this community when we needed it. Yeah. And so a year and a half ago, we started coming here. I think Josh and another time Josh invited. Dude. He's out there just waving the dude, like, come on in.
The power of invitation, man.
Power of invitation for sure. Well, for me, it's again, Sunday mornings, just getting to a church and getting, even though I was used to it for so many years, I was out of it for a while. And I was really used to like, not like, again, chill Sunday. But coming here, and again, just one of those like, all right, I'm committing. We're going to come here as often as we can. Not because I feel like it, but because it's good to be part of the church body. Like I have basic understanding of like, if you're going to walk a Christian life and follow Jesus, there's some things he's said that you need to be a part of. And he designed it that way. And to think that you can be outside of that stuff and thrive is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
You either find it out quickly or it takes a while, but it was everything I could do just to get my stinking feet through these doors for about a year. Had nothing to do with the people here, the message, the worship.
Sure.
Everything to do with my resistance to not a resistance, like a fight with myself on Sunday mornings. Like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
And therefore my family doesn't need it. Or just like these big decisions I didn't realize I was really making. But so it was about a year of consistently coming. We'd miss, you know, a Sunday here or there for sure. But I remember just drives here with Sarah going like, listen, I would start to make jokes a little bit, even though I didn't feel happy on Sunday mornings. But like, if one more person smiles at me and tells me this is my home and we're glad to see you, I think I might just give them a look.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
And it was nothing personal about that person. It was just like, let me get through the doors, stand back where it's darker. Worship, because it was interesting. Is like, I just wanted to get past the social part and like get into the presence of God and worship and hear a good message maybe smile at a few people and leave. And then, of course, you were doing the community, or what's it called? That you
connection break.
Yeah,
3 minute connection break during service.
And so, just things like that, where I was like, oh gosh, like, I know it's good for me, but like, anyway. So it was. It took a year of that consistent exposure, for me to I don't know. I would say part of it felt like this was church home, and knowing I should. When you're at a church home, you should give back. You should serve, be a part of it. Where my heart started opening a bit more to that. And it was right about the year mark. I think in October or so was about the year mark we'd been here, maybe a little longer, was when I was part of what a lot of people have been a part of over the last 6 months, is a mass layoff. And I was part of a company that just made the call one day and it was over.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a huge, huge fear. I'm not someone who had a bunch of things going on.
Yeah.
A bunch of businesses, and I can just jump to that and jump to this. It was devastating, like to just who I thought everything was built on. I think the timing couldn't have been more perfect, because I was part of a place that I called a church home. I had friends inviting me to come be a part. And that day was a pretty significant supernatural moment for me, because when I hung the phone up, and after hearing the news and seeing my work computer being shut down remotely, and went over to it and shut the lid and realized, holy cow, this is real. I'm a very like highly reactive emotional person. So emotions are a big, like just go off like fireworks for me. I feel big when I feel.
Yeah.
And that's awesome when things are good, and really terrible when things are bad.
You're right.
And over the years, I've rarely found times where I've been able to tell myself, you're going to be okay. And because I'm like, no, I'm not. See ya. Yeah. I'm going into a dark pit. Yep. It's bye. And there was this literal moment where nobody can take this from me, because I don't like make this stuff, these kind of things up.
Right.
But I was in my living room, like about to break down, realizing like, how am I going to tell my, because I worked remotely from home and stuff, but how am I going to tell my family? Like, this is, I don't know what to do. And I just felt like the Lord pressed pause on the moment, like this. And I just felt released from the moment for about 30 seconds to a minute. And he showed me in my living room this, like, hey, you can go the route you normally do, which is you're taken by your emotions and you just go for the ride. You become whatever they tell you you're going to be. Or you can choose another path. And I remember hearing or feeling or sensing happy Andy. Not like the pretend, right, but like legit joy, even in this devastating news.
Yeah.
And I mean, it took me 2 seconds to be like, yes, happy Andy. Like, I don't know. This moment's real. I choose that. And I have no clue how that was, how it really played out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, maybe 45 minutes later, I had to talk to Sarah about it. And she was like, at the end of the phone call, it was very short because she was at work. She's like, well, there's something different in your voice. Either you're pretending or this is real. And my wife knows me. I'm the worst pretender ever. Like, I'll get all sweaty and nervous and I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, no, it's real, babe. Like, this is the Lord's doing something different this time. And so it's been since October of searching for the next thing, applying for this video job or that video job, and trying to find the next full-time solution.
Right.
But man, like, there was, looking back, this is a sacred time. Like, even my wife, who is very structural in her thinking and can think past one day at a time.
Yeah.
Huge skill. I have no. Yeah. You show me a calendar, I'll pass out. Like, don't give me the day view, please.
Yeah.
Her piece in all this has just been, it's no doubt supernatural. It's like, so something different's going on. But I would say that one of the coolest moments in this that kind of really helped anchor me in scripture and in what God's trying to do in me was coming forward here. The first service I was here after the news. Again, not a Sunday I wanted to be around anybody. I'm like, sure. I've lost my whole worth. Working through the, I know God's doing something, but I feel like trash. Yeah. Like I just want to stay in bed till somebody gives me a solution that I can get out of bed for.
Yeah.
Coming forward after service and just trying to explain to the prayer team what I was going through, I barely got 6 words out. It was basically like, I lost my job, I don't know what to do, and just burst into tears. I would rather be home numbing out, like just, I don't want to be here expressing weakness. But this is the place that I should be. And so the prayer team gave me a scripture, after praying for me, and it was, I will guide you continually. I will satisfy your desires in scorched places. I will make your bones strong so that you will be like a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
Yeah.
That scripture, no doubt, like became this, just a foundation I've never felt in my whole life.
Yeah.
And so being able to, you guys gave me a chance to share a little bit on testimony, on one of the testimony Sundays. And trying to navigate a time like this where there isn't a lot of opportunity because of the mass layoffs in the industry and feeling like, well, where do I fit? Like, right. I have no problem going to get a different kind of job, but Lord, I poured 15 years into the video industry, and like I don't see why. Anyway, lots of whys and why nots and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
But in the midst of all of this, there was this literal like, just trust me, and be at peace. I'm doing something in you. In that, I got lots of invites to, that was where the invite from Josh came to like, hey, come check out Chase and I doing a podcast. And I remember showing up like in my sweats and t-shirt and like just about as raggedy as I could be, because I thought I would just be sitting, I don't know what I thought, but probably dressing like I felt. That's usually what it, but leaving that time after helping you guys, I was like, oh my gosh, I really like, if I'm in a waiting period while I find something, there's a lot more hours and I shouldn't be sitting around stewing in this stuff. What can I do to like give my skill? Cause I've got a skill. I love to use it.
Yeah.
And, so I mean, what an awesome opportunity to like, just take, can I just help edit? Like, cause I love spending time, in the craft doing it.
Yeah.
Whether that's helping me earn anything or not, I don't care. Like I was just at a time where I'm like, the Lord's doing something amazing. I want to give this back. And anyway, but the theme I would say of this whole time, being able to look back since October of last year, is just this new ability the Lord's been showing me to, I can tell my soul, you're going to rejoice. This is a new day. God's trustworthy.
Yeah.
And so I've got, I before this season, I would explain the way I was before the Lord. I always have these mind pictures of how I see him or how it feels like to be in his presence. And there was a long, many years where I felt like I was not turning away from him, but kneeling in his presence, but bawling. And like, it was hard for me to look at him just because I just didn't, there's a lot I didn't understand. A lot of whys, a lot of, and when pain hits me, it hits hard, even from other people's pain. And so I've got probably a list a mile long of why. And I, that's just impossible to bear. And so there was a spiritual picture of me, I believe, kneeling in his presence because I didn't want to leave him. I knew better than that, or turn my back on him. But I couldn't figure him out, but I just stayed. I would just stay. The way I see him now is, I mean, every morning now, it's head against his chest, receiving his love, receiving his strength, and then saying these things, not as some empty habit, but telling him, you're king, you're perfect, you're worthy, you're trustworthy, and you're greater than any need my wife has, any need my son has, any need my daughter has. You're greater. If getting bad news and being put to my knees, you know, ego-wise or what I thought I could trust in, if being taken to my knees like that was the only way to get to this spot, I wouldn't change anything. Yeah. And I don't know. It's a long answer for what you're asking, but it is very, very real. And I'm really excited for whatever is next in the months to come. And yeah. So,
man, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so powerful. And like real gets, man. You're really in that space, and you can tell how genuine the journey with the Lord is for you. And you know, like I said a little bit earlier, like you're not necessarily fully on the other side yet. Like you just said, like, I'm excited to see what's next. You don't know that fully yet.
Right.
You don't have that picture fully yet. And yet what you're experiencing is like good.
Well, right? It's
good stuff. And it's now impacting the people around you, the people closest to you, you know, your wife and kids, the people that you're around in the day to day. Like I think that's so, I don't want to miss that piece because I think a lot of the time as we are in a really difficult space, depressed, anxious, angry, disappointed, hurt, whatever that just hard place can be, there can be this lie that we believe that's like, I can't be helpful, good, whatever, for anybody else until I get good.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, and our picture of what getting good, what I mean more so is like, even in the last few weeks, I've watched you in our context here at the church, like yesterday was Sunday as we're recording this, and it'll be released Tuesday, but so 2 days ago, the way I watched you with the people that are serving in that tech booth, and your teaching and your parting life and the good stuff coming out of you and into around other people is happening at the gym, in the locker room, when we're changing and getting ready to go for the day after the workout, the way you've lingered and talked to guys in the gym that aren't a part of our group, but like are asking more questions. You're asking them questions, like you're impacting them. Life is coming out of you. Right. And I'm watching this. You haven't got your answer yet.
No.
You know, you don't have the new job, quote unquote, yet in that way. And yet in the middle of that, because of what you're allowing the Lord to do in and through you, you're still impacting people for good. And to the point of the very beginning of the podcast, like this recording of episode 17 is not happening had it not been for your yes to go in the middle of this. I'm going to believe and see that God still has gifts and calls that I can use to help and benefit the thing that he's doing in and around me. And that is just massive, dude. And you know, I know you will look back on the season and be really thankful that it wasn't a wasted season.
Right.
You have invested and sowed seeds in the middle of a desert season that I just know that the Lord is going to supernaturally return tenfold. But man, just thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
That is powerful. And the concept of you learning in a new capacity how to speak to yourself the truth.
Yeah.
It's massive. massive. And I hope people, as they're listening or watching, that they'll even consider, like, what lies did they need to identify that they've been speaking to themselves, you know, for however long, that need to get replaced with the truth of what God thinks and what he says about what is true about them or what he's called them to, and to begin to swap those lies for truth. I guess it's powerful.
Yeah, and just believing that when you say it, it will happen. Like, that's been, I've wasted a lot of opportunities to tell myself, you're going to be full of joy. Yeah. Not the fake stuff, but like, not be taken by the bad news.
Right.
And just go for a ride with it. And what, you know, however I act is how I act. No, like, as strong as I feel this stuff multiple times a day, it's just another time to be like, I mean, I don't know how many times a day I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Like, I try to find scripture, like God breathed scripture to speak out loud, where before I was like, man, that's kind of corny. That's like, yeah, that's bumper sticker. Like, you know, good vibes, man. Let's just try to speak good. No, like, this stuff's powerful.
Yeah.
And so learning that this late in life, I don't know. I feel like it kind of sucks to learn this late, but it's real. Like, I'm watching my whole day shift when I speak in that kind of, in Jesus' name and using scripture. And it's just, I don't know, man, it's, this stuff's real. It's not a joke.
So. Yeah, it is real. One thing I know that's been cool to kind of hear part of your journey with, when it comes to just church and ministry and God stuff, has been kind of what you just alluded to, the cheesiness of something that we do or say or experience in the church culture. Again, being a part of it, you've been on staff at churches and ministries, you've been in the ministry space, raised in that space, you know, most of, if not your whole life. You have, like anybody, and I would say we probably have a similar repertoire of or database of all of that stuff, positive and negative. We've talked about this, but I think I want to acknowledge it because I think a lot of people are in this space with church and the presence of God and the ways that God can and does move. Yeah. And that is, like, we've seen the extreme sides of over-spiritualization of, like, just, you know, I don't know how else to describe it, but like, I know for me, I've been in settings and in moments where when people start to really press into, like, even some of the, like, man, speak the scripture or, but you know, what, extended times of worship and prayer, but speaking in tongues, like, gifts of the spirit, like a lot of that stuff that's harder to just, there's the clarity on it.
Sure.
I've watched the charismatic side, the Pentecostal side of my church family of the previous generations and years at times, like, seem like, just be like, that's just, nah, dude, that's not right. I'm gonna peel back. I don't want to be associated with all that because I just don't jive with the way. And what's been dangerous for me at times is allowing that feeling of resistance and kind of like being repulsed to go, like, well, then I'm not gonna engage in any of it.
Yeah,
because I don't like the over extremes of it. And yet I have walked through in recent seasons, and I think this is what I've heard coming out of you. And yet the Lord has begun to go, well, no, it's not completely like a throw baby out with the bathwater thing. And just other people's extreme does not always equal a complete disqualification of what I want to do. So how have you found that balance in this season to go, I'm still going to press in.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let my history or the people that are just like kind of been like the Yahoo crazies ruin for me or stop for me my pursuit of more in the Lord. Biblical, sure. But like, more of God, his presence, and even the mysterious, the unknown, the unexplainable stuff. Like, how have you been navigating that, and what's that been like for you in just the recent seasons?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's definitely two parts. There's the little stories I have growing up of the weirder stuff that I saw. Not like bad, but like just like, dude, that's strange, man. I don't know. It made me feel like cringe. There's whole TikTok channels, YouTube videos, all built off human beings being cringe, which are some of the most delightful things to watch. But but it is hard to experience in a spiritual authority place,
right?
And where you're like, oh, there's no way that's that's getting out of my head as not cringy. And, right. and so I think there's that that I've grown up seeing, mainly in my like youth group days of going to some of the, big, worship sure. nights or something right. and seeing people, human beings expressing their excitement or emotional reactions to worship or prayer time, or the spirit moving in the room with really loud, physically
right. demonstrative.
Yeah. Like yeah, just expression. Stuff. There's no way I would do.
Yeah.
So I had no connection or ability to relate. Some of it was like, okay, that's just their style. And some of it for sure, was somebody just not somebody being out of control.
Yeah, sure.
And so those are like their own little pocket of sure. times where the greatest answer I think I've ever come up with over the last years of staying in church and staying around worship services and prayer services and stuff like that is I wish somebody would have pastored that moment a little better.
Sure.
Meaning like whoever was the worship leader or pastor at the time maybe would have just taken 5 minutes to talk to everybody in the room about yeah. what was going on.
Yeah, totally.
And nobody did. And it was just like, okay, I think that could have really helped. And yeah. just been like, all right, I'm just leaving it be and people are going to express themselves. That helped because I think that's taken out a lot of people of like one or two weird experiences. They're like, I'll never go back to an organized church service again because right. that was stupid.
Right.
The other side, I think, is just the long game of being in yeah. church, going to church on Sunday or on Wednesday nights or being a part of this group or that group. Like, what good does it really do to my life other than just some club where people agree the same way as I do? I think that's a very real question, and it's really a big question right now because yeah. people are like, well, there's probably other ways, so I'm going to go find that way, this way. I mean,
sure.
But for me, the reason I stay in this kind of environment, and nobody can pull that away from me, not because I'm like, got my head down and I won't listen to anybody, but the fact that we're all serving Jesus together with different skill sets, different things we bring to the table. Some people are good at greeting. Some people are good behind the scenes. And it is something beyond just my own physical reaction or mental reaction to a group of people. Because there's lots of great, I don't know why it comes to mind, but like a TED Talk convention where you're sure. there for 3 days and you're hearing all these great speakers and you're around of bright people.
Sure.
I bet that feels good and you probably walk away going, I made a lot of great connections. I don't know how supernaturally deep that kind of event would be.
Yeah.
Church, I feel like very much the same kind of thing where we're all talking about the same stuff.
Right.
Getting... seeing each other, shaking hands, you know, maybe networking, going to lunch together afterwards. But the supernatural part of serving Jesus, him moving uniquely in each one of our lives,
yeah.
and the part that no one can ever understand, this mysterious of like the way Jesus will do one thing that does 1,000 other things.
Yeah.
Like, that is crazy to me. Yeah. And there's so many stories, you couldn't even read through all of them,
no.
of people explaining that same thing. And I'm personally watching it happen.
Yeah.
And where a ton of this stuff's out of my control, meaning I'm not making it happen.
Right.
In fact, it's the opposite. It's like, if I had my choice, I'd be back in my nice sure. little comfortable spot.
Sure.
Don't mess with me. I'm fine here. Let me camp. But it's different. So I would say what's kept me in church and not just the church building, but like following Jesus, being a part of community, loving my brother, loving my sister, loving people and giving a little bit more of myself each week is Jesus is doing so much with just a little bit the people give each week.
Yeah.
It's insane. I don't know how he does it. Yeah. And I think it's great.
Yeah. So. That's a phenomenal way to describe it. Yeah. So the whole kind of point of this podcast is helping people get freed up from what's holding them back so they can build up who they were made to be. You kind of alluded to a few different of those places that have been maybe holding you back in previous seasons and you've begun to experience being freed up and even healed up in. I'd love for you to just kind of wrap up the conversation today with, like, what does Andy Irwin being built up into who God made him to be look like in this next season? Mm. Like, what gets you excited when you think about the future of what God still has in front of you? Yeah, because I know when I look at your life, I go, oh man, the calling on this dude's life, the dreams that God's placed in him, mm. that I'm hoping and believing and praying God resurfaces and resurrects. I'm sure yeah. he's already started some of yeah. that, and even depositing new stuff. But like, what do you get excited about when you think about, man, this is not going to be a wasted season.
Right.
I'm in the middle of enjoying a lot of it now, day by day. God, yeah. this is the day you've made. I will rejoice. And yet maybe beginning to bring some of those dreams about the future of what God still wants to do in and through your life. What do you see in that space? Like, what do you feel like God has been depositing there?
Yeah, I definitely think the thing I've had to, it's multiple times a day again. It's not just like I wake up, say my thing, and it's over. The day's coasting. But for quite a while, I kind of bought into this sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
I know it's like a harsh statement, but like it's almost something I just allowed myself to be.
Yeah.
Just sit down, shut up, head down, work hard. Don't ask too many questions, like almost this like real passive
yeah.
stay out of the game.
Sure.
Even though I'll contribute. I was trying to fit for so many years, trying to figure out a way to stay on the bench, but not really on the bench. And like knowing that if I step out and give 3 hours on a Sunday, well, what could happen then? I don't know. That seems like too much, or
yeah.
I'm not a people person, or like, I get burnt out by large groups. Just like the piling up of excuses was enough to keep me
yeah.
out of the game,
yeah.
really. And so I would say for my personality type that just really wants things, I'm a peacemaker or peacekeeper yeah. or whatever. Yeah. I don't want conflict, man. Yeah. Oh man, it's so like, whatever I can do to stay out of it. Also, I'm a high empath. So like there's a part of me that bad news from other people or struggles from other people weighs me down,
right.
even though that's my own responsibility to figure out how to shed that and, yeah. and help people. But staying out of it,
yeah.
head down, come attend church and leave.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And so, I think coming to terms with this open hand approach, I know it's, you know, so many people have said it, like closed fist, this open hands, this,
but
yeah, I get it. But like legit opening my hands and being like, Lord, whatever you're going to put in and take out, you created me.
Yeah.
Every piece of me, you yeah. know me and my depths.
Yeah.
So whatever you're going to put in and take out is the most loving, most perfect thing you could possibly do. So for me to think I got it and you don't need to touch what's in my hands is insane. It really is. Like, it's such a false, like, fog argument mm-hmm. that you could just easily dissipate. But man, it sat heavy with me for quite a while. So yeah. I think I'm just allowing that to disappear.
Yeah.
And enjoying the what's next, which is like, you know, it's literally as I say what's next, I'm like, all right, I gotta go hide.
No, it's real.
Coming to terms with that and letting go a little bit each day, I yeah. think is the yeah, biggest
it's
thing.
Huge. Well, man, thanks for sharing and letting us in on the journey today. Yeah. I respect you a ton, the husband and the father that you are, that I've gotten a chance to see over this last year and a half from the outside a little bit, but also from the inside, the way that you're pouring your life into what really matters and then being that, you know, your relationship with Jesus, but then being that first priority, it shows and it, no matter what career, success, opportunity, dream, job, whatever comes in front of you, you're winning in that space. And it's evident, man. And you, it's evident because you can see it in their flourishing. And so I just want you to know that I see that. I'm inspired by you in that space. And I want to continue to grow as a man, husband, dad in that space for myself. As I watch your kids be around you. I've got to have dinner with you guys the other night together with a couple other families, and just watching how they found themselves wanting to be close to you. God, man, that kind of thing is not, it's not an accident. I mean, it's not something that is just you're not forcing it. You're not making them be close. They want to be, they want to be close to you. Your wife adores you and respects you and loves you and is willing to go to great lengths of journeying with you. Right. And that's to me, that's the stuff that I see coming out of you that I'm like, man, that's gold. That's what I want to be in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to acknowledge that and honor that in you, and all of the other giftings and things like I've already mentioned, are so there too, and have been such an impact. But the thing I'm getting to see over the day-to-day gym encounters and just getting to do more life together is that stuff consistently. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the testament of Andy Irwin in his life right now, is that consistent space of investing in what really matters. And so I love you for that. Excited for what God does have next in the next season. Know that it's going to be incredible because of what you just said. He is the best one to know what to take out and what to put in. And now all we got to do is keep those hands, those hands open. So, and thanks for your patience over the editing process of 14 episodes and potentially more in the future. Oh, yeah. But man, I know people are in being impacted by these and enjoying them. And you've been a massive reason why that's happening. So
thank you.
Thanks for joining me today, man. Mm-hmm. Until next time, see you later.